Good day. This is Stefan Yah. I am going to bring the message today, Being on Time. Let's listen now to Eddie Reese and the Hymn Time Singers. It's not too late to change your mind. Yes, it's not too late right now to study about Yahweh here in the Word in the book of Isaiah, well-known chapters 60, 61, and 2 in the Word. We just heard from Eddie Reese and the Hymn Time Singers. Good sounds from the 1950s. You just don't hear anymore. Well, when someone asked me, why aren't you keeping the covenant of Yahweh and walking in His Word and His feast days? And I would say, well, yes, I am. I keep Halloween, Christmas, and New Year's, and Easter. But here's what the Word says in Isaiah, and now just finishing up before chapter 60 of Isaiah, or Yeshayahu. It's Isaiah 59, verse 19. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west, and His esteem, or the King James glory, the esteem from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him. Yes, we are searching for Yahweh's standard in here, and in just a moment. The Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from their transgressions in Jacob, saith Yahweh. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Yahweh, my spirit that was in me and upon me, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, or the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith Yahweh, from henceforth and forever. Or we're to be keeping Yahweh's word night and day, 24/7. Not just the little 45 minutes in church where someone raises their right hand with nobody looking around. Entering in and going to church for 45 minutes once a week. Coming out, going shopping, and spending the rest of the day just as if it was just any old day. No, we want to observe Yahweh's day that He created for our rest and for our relationship, our communication, our closeness with Yahweh, for we are His bride, the betrothed bride. Where does it say that? Well, we're going to get into that now in chapter 60 of Yeshayahu. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the splendor of Yahweh is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but Yahweh shall rise upon thee, and His splendor shall be seen upon thee. Notice that I'm changing that through tradition, they substituted Lord for Yahweh's name. You can find that right in the text. Go to eSword on your telephone, and you can get the Hebrew concordance, the Greek concordance, and all the scriptures. And then just looking at one word, you can point at that and find out the true meaning. Not the substitutes that we hear, the Adonais and so on. Well, verse 3 now. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up your eyes round about, and see all they that gather themselves together. They that come to thee, thy sons, shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged. Now, fear is a good thing when we have proper fear and awesome respect for Yahweh. Yes, because He is our leader, our commander-in-chief, the creator of the universe, that's right. So we need to bow down in our hearts and not be just standing there flippantly, you know, with the hands in the pockets and acting like we just came out of the car wash. And nothing wrong with car wash. And to flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned over or converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come to thee, the multitude of camels, the dromedaries. And then verse 7, the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with favor or acceptance, favor on my altar, and I will make the house of my splendid residence and magnify it. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles, or that's us, the nations, the isles shall wait or hope for me, and the ships of Tarshish. Verse 10, and the sons of strangers shall build up the walls, and their kings minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee. That seems to be happening to us to now in the world, that we're being afflicted. But in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. So this is a time coming. This is predictions that are 100% sure. Thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut night or day, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles or nations and northern tribe and Israel, and that their kings may be brought. Yes, all the wealth will be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yet those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the palace of my set-apart place. And I will make the place of my feet quite splendid. It says glory is there, the Hebrew word kavod. And the Mikodesh, the place of Yahweh's residence. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet and call upon thee, the city of Yahweh, the Zion of the Pure One of Israel, Zion of the Pure One. Yes, and a special note there that there are no Elohims there. But in 61 verse 2, we'll deal with that further. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles and circle the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I am Yahweh thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I'll bring gold, and iron I'll bring silver. For wood, brass, and for stones, iron, I'll also make thy officers peace, and exactors righteousness. Violence shall be no more be heard in thy land. See, that's what we get when we line up with Yahweh and walk in His Word. When we do that walk, the Scripture walk in Yahweh, keeping the feast days, Passover, Pentecost or Shavuot, and Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot, wasting nor destruction within thy borders will be no more. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Praise to Yah. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But that's in Isaiah 60:19. But Yahweh shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy Elohim thy splendor. or thy sovereign one, thy splendor, might be even a better rendition of the word. Instead of G-O-D, comes from Gad and paganism. And in the Greek, it's they use the theos, which is not a separated name by any means. Thy sun shall no more go down. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For Yahweh shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of mourning shall be ended. Thy people shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be magnified. A little one, or the smallest one, shall become a thousand, and the least of all, a small one, will be a strong nation. I, Yahweh, will hasten it in his time. And then continuing on, flowing into the next chapter, 61. And then we're going to move on somewhere in the New Testament here in a moment. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good news, or good tidings, unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. John the Baptist quoted this. And speaking of the Messiah, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberties to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. See also the 119th Psalm, verse 45. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. So there's another jubilee year. The day of vengeance of Yahweh, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he might be magnified, and that they should build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and your strangers shall stand and feed their flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priests of Yahweh. This is in verse 6 now of 61, Isaiah. You shall be named the priests of Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of Yahweh. You'll eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their splendor shall you boast yourselves, for your shame, and not haughtiness, but for your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. I will direct their work in truth. They are the seed which Yahweh has blessed. And verse 10, I'll greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my El, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. And this could even not only to Messiah, but to you, to thee. And the garments of salvation, he has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom. Now here is that symbolism, that marital symbolism, that we get together with Yahweh as he with our bridegroom, and we as the bride. A perfect bride prepared herself for him. A bridegroom decketh herself, or decketh himself, it even said there in italics, with ornaments. And as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. And in John 15:22, that reflects that theme there. Let's look over here to chapter 15 of Yochanan. And Messiah is speaking here. Yehoshua is speaking. He says, I've not come and spoken unto them that they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sins. So Yahweh is saying, for his name's sake, let us have his righteousness, not walk in our own filthy righteousness of our own lawless deeds, those filthy deeds that condemned us. And further, he said that the Comforter will come in chapters Yochanan 16. Chapter 16 is the next one here. 16, verse 8. When the Comforter is come, he'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Why of sin, righteousness, judgment? Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And also see Micah 6:8. And then of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. See John 12:31. Looking back through the pages here for you on this about that we are going to act now on Yahweh and don't waste any time in obedience. John 12:31, I hear Messiah quoting again, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes," when the Father said, "I have both magnified it and will magnify his name again." Okay, Messiah answered, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." From the Evangel of John. Then we, my finger still here in the scriptures in chapter 61, talking about the righteousness of Yahweh. 61:10, we're finishing. "We'll deck ourselves with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Yes, in one place also in the Minor Prophet, so-called, he says, "When I make up my jewels." And that's what we are, the bride of Messiah, hopefully, if we're faithful to him. "As the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the gardens cause the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so Yahweh Elohim will cause righteousness and praise to bring forth before all the nations." Then he goes into this symbolism again about New Jerusalem, the place that we are headed first for the first 1,000 years, the millennium coming after the seventh trumpet, which is sounded there and described also in approximately chapter 8 of the Revelation 8. Now, we can't go at the first trumpet. No, the last trumpet is the seventh one. And that's when all the righteous will be called to him, according to Scripture. So, for a little bit here, let's have some of the words of Yahweh's prophetic message here, given to his prophet Isaiah, or Yeshayahu, or Yeshayah, is sufficient. And in 62, for Zion's sake, that's the Hebrew nation, and that includes most of those in the world of any color, any race. "For Zion's sakes, and those who have been grafted into him," by the way, and accepted Yahweh's family plan for all. "For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness go forth as brightness, and the salvation as a lamp that burns. The nations, or Gentiles, or the northern kingdom, shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy splendor," or magnificence, "and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of Yahweh shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of splendor in the hand of Yahweh, and a royal headdress or diadem in the hand of Yahweh." Yes, it is okay to wear the kippah, as the kings of Yahweh are to be decked with all the apparel that Yahweh, the scriptural apparel that he describes in the scripture. See also Leviticus 22. So with a royal diadem in the hand of Yahweh, and we're going to have these crowns, many crowns for those who have surrendered to Yahweh's word in obedience, turn from Babylon, turn from sin, turn from the pagan holidays. "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, or my delight is in thee." Did I get that right? Let's see. Or my delight is in her. So, Hephzibah, my delight is in her, in thy land Beulah, or married. So, thou shalt be called My delight is in her, and thy land should be called married. For Yahweh delights in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, the symbolism here of our the son of Yahweh, Yahusha, the young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall Elohim rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace night or day. You that make mention of Yahweh, keep not silence, and give him no rest until he establish, until he makes Jerusalem a praise and a praising in the earth. Yahweh has sworn by his right hand, surely I'll no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies. And then skipping to the courts of being set apart, the Mikodesh. Verse 10, go through the gates and prepare the way. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. We're going to have that highway to the feast days, to Yahusha, the Almighty Messiah, who is actually the representative of Yahweh. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. That's what we're missing, is his standard, his moral compass, the laws, the way of life. Behold, Yahweh has proclaimed unto the end of the world, saying to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the separated people, it says here in the King James Holy, which we have looked up that word. And it's from a very questionable, unreputable source. So the right Hebrew word here is Kodesh. And the proper interpretation, according to Strong's Concordance, it tells you in there, being separated or pure. And then there's a few other synonyms there, but separated and pure, the main ones that we concentrate on here. Separated not just from the evil wickedness in the world in general, but from even the adulterated religions of the world. And we're not criticizing necessarily. We're not putting the people down. We're putting the leaders have in their creed, in their doctrine, that when it opposes these scriptures, then we believe we are to come out of a church like that, or an assembly, or a synagogue, come out, and if necessary, we will form a small fellowship for now, which might develop into something a little bit larger. The size is of irrelevance. Wait a minute, let me finish up here while I do all that. And they shall call them the pure people, the separated people, or pure Kodesh people, the redeemed of Yahweh. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. So that's the end of that chapter 62. And yes, speaking of fellowship, we want to be careful. I'm not talking about just dropping into an assembly where they have a special music going on, possibly. That's won't cause us to compromise spiritually and depart from Yahweh's pure standard of separating and have no idols, no idolatry, and no other Elohim in our life, but to gather together in spirit and in truth with those who are desiring at least to walk in the Word, to be properly immersed or baptized in His name, and to be rakatzed or tubaled, are the proper Hebrew words. And we want to be right here when Yahweh returns. Looking at the book of the Revelation, to wind it up here, about 23 or 4 minutes into the podcast. You know, we thank you for tuning in. Revelation now. And the great day of the wrath is come at the end of chapter 6. They're opening the fifth and sixth seals there, and the moon becomes as blood. And this is the last book in the scriptures in the New Testament, the Brit Kadashah. Verse 15 of chapter 6 says, and the kings of the earth, the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Then in chapter 7, the next chapter, after these things I saw four messengers standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. And this is not a literal corner. If you looked up in the Greek concordance, the Strong's concordance, you find out a different interpretation a little bit there on the word corner, because the scripture shows, like the book of Job, that the world is round. And they knew this way before anybody discovered that, any scientist, that the world is not square. It's some thought you'd fall off. There's a lot of wild and crazy theories still coming out from the scientific community, from one part of it. But they grow from one thing to another, I guess. One truth, hopefully, to a better truth. Anyway, the four messengers there are standing and holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, not on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another messenger ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yahweh. Now, this is a good seal, a great seal, I might say, the seal of the living Yahweh. And he cried with a loud voice to the four messengers to whom it was given to hurt the earth and sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of Yahweh in their foreheads. And I took the liberty of changing that G-O-D epithet to Yahweh, even though it we'd have to go, you know, Greek and so forth. And I don't want to necessarily get into that today, but that's a Greek word, 430 in the Strong Concordance. And I would have to explain how they came up with that. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And then in verse 9, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. We wave palms and other vegetation during the Feast of Tabernacles. We just wave toward Yahweh, you know, toward the heavens. And so this great multitude cried with a loud voice, verse 10, salvation to Yahweh, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the messengers stood round about the throne, and the elders and four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped Yahweh. You don't see that sort of posture in today's modern assemblies, necessarily. Hopefully you will. You see us prostrate ourselves before Yahweh and have some real respect. We can't always be on our knees, but saying Hallel, blessing and splendor and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto Yahweh forever and ever. Hallel. One of the elders said, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? Also, Matthew 22:11. And then we'll come back in a moment. Momento here. Okay. 22, going backwards to somewhere around verse 11. Those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they were found. Oh, this is the wedding is ready. And Messiah is telling this parable. Many as they found, and also prophetic, by the way, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Don't make me get into that doctrine there about the bad and good right now, okay? That's for another time. We don't want to take any side trips right now. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which didn't have on a wedding garment. Oh, as we explained, a robe of righteousness from John 15:22, Zephaniah 1:7, and Isaiah 61:10, also referring to that what we call a tallit that has the tzitzis tied to it. Now, to some, they're going to say, what kind of a strange deal is that? Well, it's for those of us who have studied and go back to that at some date, and you'll find out what a tzi, what a tzitzi is and what's the purpose. It's very, very important. I think I mentioned that earlier. Leviticus 22 would be a good place to start your research. When we have the tokens of our virginity on our body somewhere when we're worshiping is the recommended, commanded way. So, when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which didn't have on the wedding garment. Now, that's not just a tallit. There's more to it than that, as I said earlier. And so he said unto him, friend, the king said, friend, how camest thou in hither not having on a wedding garment? And he was, the man was speechless. The man that didn't have the wedding garment on was speechless. And then we'll go back to Revelation here in a moment to chapter 7, verses 9 to 14 and 19, verse 9. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. So that passage, the prophetic chapter in Matityahu chapter 22, and approximately verses 10 to 13, or 14. Then my finger was somewhere here in Revelation, and we see the seventh seal there. Let's see, we weren't quite there yet. Okay. Chapter 7. So that reference about the white robes, we read from Matityahu 22:11. And he said, what are these white robes? Whence came they? And I said, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. The adjective thee I have added, which is irrelevant, but they came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, we need to not only stand in spirit-imputed righteousness, but also in perfect outer physical, inner and outer physical righteousness before Yahweh. Not in a pseudo plastic way, but let's be realistic and really walk in Yahweh's word. And then we don't have anything to worry about. There I go, inserting a little bit of my commentary. But verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of Yahweh. They serve him night and day in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. Yes, David's throne there with Yehoshua the Messiah, the son of Yahweh, is our master. And the great sovereign one, as I refer to him. And they shall hunger no more. Well, that's good news. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, that represents the Son of Yahweh, the Messiah, found in Isaiah, all through the book of Isaiah, and all through the scripture. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Then he opened the seventh seal, and then you see all the trumpets are sounded there. The seven angels would have the seven trumpets, or the seven messengers, as I properly refer to them, not angels. And they prepared to sound. They sounded all the trumpets there in beginning in chapter 8. Some killed by the plagues there in chapter 9, verse 20 of the Revelation. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold, and so forth. Neither repented they of their murders, sorceries, or fornication, meaning also spiritual fornication. So they didn't repent of sorceries, fornication, or their thefts. When they stopped doing it, that is called repentance. And then asking for forgiveness is always proper. And then Yahweh will forgive those sins. Just plead the mercy of Yahweh through the blood of the Messiah. Okay, now, as I promised, we're getting close here to the end, at 35 minutes in, greeting you around the world. Let's go to chapter 10. And then you'll need to have a prayer after this and to be properly dismissed by Yahweh. Just pray and thank Him. We're not recommending just any old church of your choice. As they often say on the radio, go to the church of your choice. If I went to the church of my choice, especially before I was saved, it would be party on, you know, and with terrible things, rock and roll or something going on, and taking me back to the bad days of cruddy radio that I was unfortunately involved in. Well, chapter 10 then, in Revelation, I saw a mighty messenger come down from heaven, a rainbow there, and his face, a rainbow upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Chapter 10, we are reading about the mighty messenger, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as with a lion that roareth loudly. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Seven thunders in Revelation 10:4. The messenger which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. So that's the theme of our program here, to be on time before all this hits. And to be ready, you know. You say, well, where will I go? Well, ask Yahweh for direction, but mainly read the Word. Don't just listen to me, to anybody necessarily. Read the Word in selected places that's really going to lead you to directly to the path of Yahweh. Yes, by walking, living, and obeying and loving His Word. Loving Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, Yod Heh Vav Heh, the Father of the entire universe. 10:7, but in the days of the seventh angel, messenger, excuse me, when he began to sound or blow that trumpet, and in the Tree of Life version it says when he was about to sound, the mystery of Yahweh should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. The voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the messenger. And I went to the messenger and give me the little book, he said. And it tasted sweet as honey. And then, oh, here we go. It's, I'm moving, warming up to this slowly about the seventh trumpet sounding very slowly. It says in Thessalonians, I think it's 2 Thessalonians, that first the dead and Messiah will rise after that seventh or the last trumpet. So this is the last one now. Okay, now you fill it in because I'm skipping way up here a number, about 10 verses or so, to chapter 11. Let's go to 11:11. That might be kind of a because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life, or 3 days could be 3.5 years, the spirit of life from Yahweh entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice, a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour, so here it is, it's not the pre-trib rapture, as is commonly heard on popular Christianity, college and radio and preachers, but it says right here in the scripture, 11:11, just remember that. ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, 10% fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave their praise to the mighty one of heaven, to the sovereign one. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly. So here we are moving to the third woe, and then the next verse is that seventh messenger sounding. Going back to the previous chapter about seven thunders sounded, but here in 11:15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of Yahweh." Where it says Lord, I'm substituting the proper name there, not title of Lord, from Lordos, but from paganism, but the kingdoms of Yahweh and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. So maybe we could just, you know, bow our heads and thank you, Yahweh, for the reward in heaven that is awaiting for us, and in thy heavenly city, in thy temple in New Jerusalem. 1,000 years will be with thee and with all thy sisters and brothers and disciples and apostles, and it's going to be a great union with them, people we've never met in our life from ages past, from the last 6,000 years, and great leaders, and men and women alike, and of all nations, I believe it is, we're going to meet with them and lift up our voices and our hands and our entire being, whatever that is at the time. Our spirits will lift up and praise the Almighty and thank you for all you've done for us and given us such excellent salvation through thy Son and all thy wonderful creations. And yes, and the reward, which reward of eternal life, of course, is can't be earned in any way. Zechariah, they call it. This is from the last great day, the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah 3, he showed me Yehoshua, or Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of Yahweh, and Satan standing at the right hand to resist. And Yahweh said to Satan, "Yahweh rebuke thee, O Satan." And now Yahusha was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the messenger. And he answered and spoke those that stood before, "Take away the filthy garments. Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." And we not only need an outer change, but an inner change of raiment. Take away the veil off our hearts and our ears and our minds. "Let them set a fair mitre." So here it is again, I can't read my tia there or something. "The mitre upon his head," so like a kippah or a crown. "So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the messenger of Yahweh stood by. And the messenger of Yahweh protested unto Yahusha," or exhorting, "Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, then shalt thou also judge my house and keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among them that stand by. O Maranatha, hear now, O Yahusha the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch." Here's a messianic reference to our Messiah in Zechariah chapter 3. "I'll bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid upon Yahusha, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving, saith Yahweh of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor unto the vine and unto the fig tree." Fig tree represented, I believe, of Israel. And so please read that, if you will, Zechariah 2 and 3, so-called minor prophets. And then I do have time here to read Daniel 12. one verse in 12, verse 1 for you. Daniel. And these last chapters are very imperative for you, for those of you who don't hit the books that often. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was seen since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Hosea 13:14 goes with that one. And also Jeremiah verse 30. And okay, how about Joel chapter 2:32? Thank you for bearing with me here and the whole body of listeners today. The great and terrible day of Yahweh will come, and it will come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, shall be deliverance, as Yahweh hath said, not the Lord. That's only a title, and it is corrupt, as you shall see, and research that with your little telephone or computer. As Yahweh has said, and in the remnant whom Yahweh shall call. So please remember this and share it with others. Don't ever let anybody talk you out of it, okay? Because, I know you get out in the world or on the freeway or in the store or something, and they're bombarding you with the stuff, with that rock or loud something anyway. And not all of that is bad, but who can separate it all? Who can distinguish between the evil and the good and the blessed? Not many. So it's okay to warn the wicked, as the prophet Ezekiel. Now, this is not just coming out of Ezekiel's own mind or heart or any other place. It's he's inspired by the Spirit, as all the other prophets are, of Scripture, of what they commonly call the Bible, of Scripture, to speak, and also to adjure us to, you know, walk according to Yahweh's word, to be pure in His eyes. And somebody will say, oh, that's too hard. No, if I can do it, anybody could. It's foolproof. Well, anyway, it's in Yahweh's way. Things just kind of lay out naturally, if I could use that word. Very blessed, very blessed way. Just seek Yahweh's way, and it'll happen. It'll come to you. You get blessed if you haven't done it already. Then you know what I'm talking about. I'm just encouraging you. Ezekiel 3:18. So he's speaking to us. He's not just speaking to you know, who, what, where, when, why, by some sort of interpretations or whatever. No, the word of Yahweh is here a little, there a little. It is line upon line, here a little, there a little. And speaking of each distinctive doctrine. And it is also that we are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh, written in Luke 4:4. And Matthew 4:4. Okay, Ezekiel, when I say unto the wicked, so he might be speaking to me right here, I've done that at times, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning. See, then we're guilty. If we don't warn somebody, you don't have to stand up in the store and warn everybody about, everything, but just one little thing at a time, maybe. Just give him a little encouragement. Thou givest him not warning, not speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but I will require at thine hand his blood. You know, that's repeated throughout Scripture there, that same theme. So that's why we do these things, to share with one another, or to have a preacher stand up and hopefully do a, you know, they used to stand up and do a fair job, not just tell jokes or I can't think of the different things, and try to make you feel good and stuff. No. We need to be under the conviction of the word when it's properly read. So then we go to Ezekiel 33, which is going to say about the same thing to us here, and starting around verse 9. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of the way to turn from it, and he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, son of man, the house of Israel, that pertains to most of us, to the, you know, 90-some percent of the population in the world. Thus, Israel, hear this. He's speaking. If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith Yahweh, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from the evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Now you could have a whole discussion of what happens when you die, and you might never come to the proper conclusion anyway. It's not a waste of time, but I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time on it. And so now 33 verse 12, therefore thou son of man, say to the children of thy people, thy righteousness, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. And for his righteousness in the day that he sins, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he has committed, he'll die for it. Oh, there's no eternal security there. And if the wicked restore the pledge, give again, you know, to make restoration, that where he has robbed or duped somebody, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. So this chapter, all about repentance, how to repent. And Ezekiel 33 is one of the places. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of Yahweh isn't fair. But as for them, their way is not fair, Yahweh said. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. Well, that's not the rest of the story, though. If we keep reading line upon line, here a little, there a little, then we get to the part that tells us the good news, the rest of the story. And certainly we have been, you know, guilty of falling many, many times, you know, trying to pick up, and maybe I trusted in my own way of doing it and not by the power of the Spirit or whatever circumstance or whatever happened. But Yahweh's righteousness, just pray that he'll give you the Spirit on how to do that. Some messianic assemblies don't preach that. They don't, or they don't preach at all, probably, but they don't teach it. We need to reason together, and reason together with Yahweh through his word. And then the logic and the true truth will come through. Corinthians, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. That we had the sentence of death, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in Yahweh, which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. So Yahweh raised the dead. It said G-O-D there, another problem in interpretation. But once again, it's pretty simple. If you just had a paraphrase program, Hebrew-Greek paraphrase, and it's for free, so what's to stop you? No, it's worth... Yeah, I want to give you $500 today. It's worth $500 probably today in today's currency. So get one if you at all can, the e-sword. And it's, you know, you're not going to hell if you don't do it, but you won't necessarily. You know, but we need to show that we're serious about things. Let's move on in Yahweh and our study and our appreciation and our respect and humbling ourselves before Yahweh. But in Yahweh, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Read on, my friend, read on, and have salvation in Yahusha. Ho means announcing Yahusha, the salvation of Yahweh. So Yahweh's name is in the Messiah. He was born a Hebrew as prophesied in Scripture in Isaiah 9:6. And the Hebrew word for salvation is S-H-A, number 3467 in the Strong's. It means salvation. Yahusha, by the way, is a root word for the Savior from Isaiah 43, verse 10. And Zechariah 9:9, I believe we read a little bit earlier. And Hosea chapter 2, verse 16. And in that day, Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, my man, and shalt call me no more Baali, master, but will call me Yahweh. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of your mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. Hosea 2:16. So being saved by the blood, keeping the covenant of Yahweh with his laws in our hearts, Hebrews 8:10, and the faith in the resurrection in the true Creator, the Sovereign One of the universe, who was impaled on the tree at Calvary approximately 2,000 years ago. He was in the grave for 3 nights and 3 days, from Aviv, the first month of the year, Aviv 14 to Aviv 17, 3 nights and 3 days. See Matthew 12:38. And he gave us his covenant. He's writing his laws in our hearts and minds. So we'll continue with him and continue in and delighting in the Torah of Yahweh and in the Messiah after the inward man, Romans 7:22. Delighting in Yahweh's word after the inward man. Here's a little bit of Joe Pearl's now, and we hope that you've enjoyed this. We'll fellowship again here on YahwehNotYahweh.name. YahwehNotYahweh.com, and the other website is YahwehYahweh.name. The email is Stephanyah with a T, Stephanyah at YahwehYahweh.name. Shalom. And he tells me.